Welcome back to episode 3 of Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I am L. Ariel, your host. We can be found at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S, podcast.com. We're all about careers in the music industry. We talk to the movers and shakers in the business today and get a little insight, advice, education, and some really good motivation and inspiration. If you go to the website, you can stream and download episodes 1 and 2. We're on all the streaming platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Android, so please check us out. Last week, we had the pleasure of interviewing Colin Wolfe, who was essentially one of the main collaborators on Dr. Dre's iconic and game-changing album, The Chronic. And Colin's also worked with, people like Michael Jackson and George Clinton and Bjork and Aretha Franklin, so he is quite the veteran of the music industry and has a lot of great experience and advice and outlook to share. So definitely go back and listen. You can look and listen if you haven't had a chance to already. This week's guest is Angela Jolivet, a.k.a. DJ Moonbaby. She has a work ethic and a focus that I think has placed her in some amazing spaces and high-profile positions within the music industry. She started her music career as one of the top female DJs in Los Angeles, spinning tracks as DJ Moonbaby. She also co-ran a club in downtown LA. Then she moved over to the Recording Academy, the Grammy Awards, where she began a decade-long career run working in the gospel music and TV and film fields division. Then, never one to let the grass grow beneath her, she's started her own music supervision production company called Moonbaby Media, and she's overseeing the music for Greenleaf, which is an insanely popular gospel television series by the one and only Miss Winfrey. That's Oprah, in case you didn't know. Ever the innovator, Angela is giving contemporary gospel music a bigger platform by introducing artists and songs throughout the season run of Greenleaf. The soundtrack for season 2 just dropped on Spotify last month. It's also insanely popular, so I thought it'd be fun to listen to a clip from one of the songs. So here's Won't He Do It by Corin Hawthorne. Enjoy. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you. They gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Won't he do it? Welcome, Angela.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really grateful. So I love to hear about where people came from, in terms of music, like how it first affected them, how it first influenced them, kind of set them on their trajectory to where they are today. So maybe you could just talk to me a little bit about, first memories of music that you had or first introduction in your household or stuff like that, whatever you feel comfortable with sharing.
Well, obviously, it's been a long road for me, and I'm still on my journey, but basically this all started many, many years ago, as far back as I can think, in the classroom in preschool. I was the classroom DJ playing on the Fisher-Price, Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday.
Aww.
For all the kids. Yeah, in the class, I guess I was the DJ. Whenever there was a birthday, I would drop the Hotter Than July records. That was the first record I ever played.
Wow.
On the Fisher-Price. And, I was just that kid in back of the school bus. I had the boombox. I had all the tapes. I had all the music, Ice-T, Too Short, you name it. So when I can think about, where this originates, and before I knew what I was doing and the passion I had, it was definitely as a kid instilled in me, playing my dad's records. He had a huge record vinyl collection, and Tina Marie and Shalimar. So I was really into soul, as you could hear, and grew up on hip hop out here in Los Angeles, 1580 AM K-Day, the first hip hop station out here in Los Angeles. So off the radio, the whole nine. So that's just, a little snippet of me going back into my childhood and knowing like it was something special about music and not just being a fan. It was something deeper that I was connecting to on another level that now today it all has come together for me.
Was there somebody that you emulated as a child, like maybe a DJ on K-Day or somebody, a musician or somebody like that, that you feel like really kind of shaped who you are?
Well, funny enough, I never wanted to be an artist or anything like that, even though I would sing, Lisa Coat Jam in the mirror with a hairbrush. You know, I loved all that stuff back then. And actually, I thought I could hold a tune. I thought I was very melodic with my voice, but I always wanted to work behind the scenes. You know, that was always really my thing. And the business side of music, for some reason, I always had an attraction to, and the creative side. But, you know, as far as emulating someone now today, you know, I host a lot of on camera stuff for the Grammys and, you know, a music show called Buzzin' in their Up Close and Personal music series. But I never wanted to be in front of the camera. I always wanted to be a producer or executive producer behind the scenes, but now it's just been a gradual thing. But Fab Five, Freddie, you know, Donnie Simpson, VT Video Soul, Downtown, Julie Brown, like watching him back in the day, I like always looked up to those hosts and never really thought honestly about being a host. But sometimes in life, things come to pass that you, you know, don't clearly see what path you're on, but you know, I was focused on working in music and this is where I am now. So,
wow. Did you get to meet any of them?
I have not met any of them, which is crazy. And I'm not saying that I never will, because I've always crossed roads with people that I've basically looked up to my whole life, especially like being a kid. You never think you're going to come into face with people that you were like 15 years younger than when they were on tour. You were like in sixth grade, you know, but a lot of those artists I'm friends with now, you know.
That's so
and
great.
It's like just surreal that you catch up, you know, when you become an adult and you could have that type of interface with some of the people you've always grew up loving from afar. So
That's magical. It's really magical. You know, for the people listening, just kind of walk us through the beginning of your trajectory. Like, did you go to school for music? Like, where did you kind of go, like high school and beyond?
I did not do anything musical in high school. I was just one of the kids hanging out, playing all the music. Still, I had like all the music CDs that you could fine. I almost got a job at a radio station and just kind of shunned that idea because it wasn't in the department I wanted to work in. So, you know, I was being a kid, not knowing any better, and could have started my career probably a lot earlier in radio there. But, you know, college, I went to school, UC Irvine, graduated there. I was actually a pre-dentistry major, thought I wanted to be an orthodontist. And actual anthropology, musicology major. So music was still important to me. Like, I remember freshman year, I took jazz 101, you know, when I was in my senior year of college, pretty much took a year of at the musicology in my anthropology major, studying music and cultures. So it was always still a part of me, but, you know, I didn't do anything on the creative side yet. So wasn't DJing, wasn't doing any of that. And, you know, pretty much knew I wanted to work in music and I didn't want to be a dentist. And, you know, I just didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew I was going to do something in music. So graduated college, you know, ended up working in telecommunications for Tacbell Wireless, like out of school and working in, you know, that phase of telecom. But I knew I wanted to work in music, bottom line. So I started just going out there, you know, trying to do internships and work. My first job was with Coolio. His management company was Crowbar Management, and his office were on La Cienega, cross street from the Beverly Center. And, you know, I met a lot of people being there because it was in the heart of Los Angeles. And that was cool, but that was like the beginnings of it all for me. So it was just, you know, one job leading to the next. And I ended up at Magic Johnson's company working on his real estate side and didn't want to work on the real estate side. I wanted to work on the record label side. He had Magic Johnson Music at the time through MCA. Pretty much I just tried to get over there, and the executive at the time that ran the real estate side kind of kept me from that side, like, you know, you don't need to be there, you know, that's not a good move. And ultimately he was keeping me from going over there because the label was dissolving, and the last project we did was the Brown Sugar soundtrack and film, and then it was no longer. So all that to say, you know, opportunity came along when I was there. A good friend of mine worked for 92.3 The Beat here in Los Angeles in promotions, and she said, I have this venue, you know, in Ventura Boulevard in the Valley, and, you know, do you want to come out and DJ? So she knew that I love music, but she didn't know if I was out DJing publicly or anything. But she basically was the reason I became Moon Baby. So I went out and DJed at her venue and left Magic Johnson's company and never looked back and became Moon Baby. So that's in a nutshell how that happened.
Wow, that's great. Now, did you have to, when you were doing the internships and stuff, were you trying to also support yourself, like working that day job at the telecommunications?
Actually, I just did the telecommunications thing full time when I was there. I was there for probably 2 years. I was the operations manager first for the business a side of sales. And then I saw these guys out there selling and making this money. And a part of me was like, I could do that. Like, cause they were lame to me, you know, but I was just like, I could go out there and do that job. So that job specifically helped me grow tough skin for the music industry. It was a sales job. And having to go knock on doors back in the day, you know, there were a lot of competitors, Nextel, and, you know, I had to sell my phone service. And there were a lot of doors closed in my face, you know, and there were a lot of deals done. But it just gave me that, you know, skill I needed to be able to go out there in this business and ask for what I want, you know, and be able to take the no's and the yeses. Mm-hmm. So that was what that job did for me. And, you know, after that, I just started working in the business. You know, I had a little cushion. And I didn't have to work two jobs. I was able to just kind of do what I wanted to do. When I became Moon Baby, I went out and DJed for, like, you know, all the entertainment stuff. I was DJing really before female DJs were even as big as they are now. Like, I was one of the main DJs in L.A. in the beginning because there weren't a lot of us. And there wasn't a spot-o. And it was still, you had to be able to spin on vinyl or CD. And, you know, everyone wasn't doing it. So I was getting a lot of opportunities, you know, and I would DJ CBS's Christmas party on the back lot or the Grammys, you know, mixer in Hollywood for their LA chapter or, you know, Microsoft event. So I was getting a lot of corporate stuff and that was great, you know, so that just helped me to start building my brand basically as a DJ.
And did you find, like, once you were like, okay, I'm Moon Baby, and you were really starting to invest in that, did you find, like, all of a sudden, like, things just started falling into place, like, doors just started opening, that kind of thing?
They did. It was weird for me because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, the challenges of a DJ, it's a man's world, and, you know, basically it would be a hard, you know, sale to be a female DJ and get hired, but I really felt like it was an asset for me. Personally, because there were a lot of us. And it was just, for me, a selling point that I was a female DJ. Like, I didn't feel like I was at a deficit because it was a man's world. Like, I've never experienced that. I've never even experienced that in business yet. Like, it's, you know, I hear people say all the time, you know, in business, you only get so far up the ladder and it's a man's world. And I personally haven't experienced that yet. So I don't look at life that way. I look at, like, what's for me is for me. And my path is than anybody else.
Yeah.
So God is the one that controls my steps and man can't hold me back. So that's just kind of how I look at my life.
And I like too that the spin, the positive spin that you put on that sales job, because I think for a lot of artists, like, the day job is just such a, you know, it's beneath us. It's like, oh, God, I had to work at Starbucks, or, oh, you know, and this was all bullshit. And it's like you took a situation that a lot of people would have just been like, oh, my life sucks. I can't get a break. And you were like, you know what? I'm going to learn from this. I'm actually going to get skills that will help me in my artistic vision, you know, to, as you said, to get a thicker skin. So I think that that probably changed the outcome because you took such a positive spin on it.
Well, I think in every situation you have to find the positive, because I think a lot of times you're in the space you're in for a reason, you know, and whether you've put yourself in the human flesh in that place or not, you know, there's a lesson to be learned. So I think wherever you are, you know, you can't, first of all, blame anyone else if you're not making steps towards what it is you want to do, because no one can hold you back but you. I'm a firm believer in that. And just because things don't happen in the time or manner in which you think they should happen doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. But you just have to be patient and realize, like, everything is a journey and a path that you're on, and it steps to that path. It's not a leap. People talk about a leap of faith. That's great. But, you know, you could have faith all day, but you have to still execute along with that leap. So those two things hand in hand.
Yeah, that's very powerful. Thank you for sharing that. So you're DJing all these corporate events. You're making, you know, you're establishing your brand. You're building your brand. And then what was your next kind of chapter?
My next chapter was Moon Baby built her brand as far as she could. You know, I had a club out here called the Moon Bar with a good friend of mine, Chef Elaine Smith, and she just recently opened her restaurant in Hollywood called Soul on Hollywood Boulevard. So we used to do events together downtown at the Moon Bar. You know, it was basically like, you know, my life was the nightlife, and I just got tired of being out, you know, and having to grind. It's a grind. And you're good as your next, you know, connect to get your next job. So a part of me was just like, I'm tired, you know, I'm tired of partying, I'm tired of having to go out, I'm tired of having to network. So, you know, what can I do to elevate what I've already built for my brand and to take my DJ, you know, business to the next level and evolve that into something else? Because I'm really feeling like, you know, this is great, but I want to expand a business model for myself. So I ended up joining the Recording Academy. And I did that probably over 12 years ago now. And, you know, for me, that was like linking to the nucleus of the business, which you interface with every walk of life with the academy. It's a peer-to-peer organization, no matter, you know, if it's a label or artist, engineer, producer, you know, you're basically interfacing with the best of the best in this music industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a friend that was overseeing reggae, hip-hop, and R&B. And he had been there for quite some time, over 14 years. And I went in to see him, and basically he signed me up, you know, as a member there and started getting me involved on the committee. So I was on the Urban Alternative Committee, which that category no longer is there, and the R&B Committee. So I got to serve on that side of things and just see the organization and use some of my skills as a DJ to go in and, you know, basically screen the music for the Grammys for those categories. But in doing that, you know, I got to see the organization from the inside and really felt like there was a connection there for me to possibly go in and work with the organization. So I was tired of grinding. I was tired of doing Moonbaby Entertainment and the nightlife. And for some reason in my spirit, that was the place I needed to be. So I always say it was an assignment from above because literally on my birthday 10 years ago, I went to an event and it was like a songwriter panel with Keisha Cole, Brian McKnight, and a couple other songwriters. And I was very adamant about going there on my birthday that day during the day. And it was actually in the older building on Pico before they moved over on Olympic to the new space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember being in that room and praying and making a birthday wish all in one. Like, I was like, you know, Lord, I'm tired of being out here, you know, on this grind. Like, I really would love to have a place where I have some stability and, you know, I can grow what I've done, you know, on the level that I've been able to do it on my own and continue to grow my business and my career. And this is where, you know, I would love to be. And I remember saying that prayer in that room that day. And that was the 24th of June. And by July 19th, basically, I was hired and working there, not even a month later.
Wow.
So long story short, you know, my friend that brought me into the committee told me there was an opening there. And I sent my resume on a Friday afternoon, got a response from the head of awards, which was now my boss the past 10 years. And he told me that, you know, the position had been filled, you know, that they were looking to fill. And so something told me in my spirit, like, be very professional when you respond to him. Just be very humble. Mm-hmm. Ask him to keep you in mind. You know, if something comes along, to please keep you in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I could have been bitter, like, oh, whatever. You know, like, whatever. It's no position. It's whatever. So
right.
Monday morning, he reaches back out to me and he says, you'll never believe someone gave their notice late Friday. And can you come in for an interview this week? So long story short, you know, I go in and I'm working there not even a month later, July 19th. So I just feel like that was meant for me, you know, and the job was to oversee gospel music. And I went to Catholic school my whole entire life, but I never wanted to oversee gospel music. You know, I wanted to R&B and hip hop. That's what I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
And DJ, you know, that was my lane. So I always feel like, you know, he was saying, God was saying, if I give you this opportunity and open this door for you, this is what you're going to do for me. And, you know, I pretty much stayed in that position for a whole decade. I tried to get out of it. I tried to take over R&B and hip hop when my friend, you know, left the company 5 years in. You know, that just wasn't in the cards. And they gave me TV and film. So instead of R&B and hip hop, but I kept gospel. They didn't let me let go of the gospel category, but they gave me television and film. So basically I oversaw the awards process for gospel music and television and film for the last decade for the Grammys.
That is some heavy hitting stuff, right? You're like big time.
Yeah, it is. And it was a blessing because I got to be a part of something that, you know, is very monumental for a lot of people in their careers, you know, and give them that stamp, you know, that you are the best of the best in these worlds that you, you know, work in and you're creative in.
Mm-hmm.
So it quite a journey to be a part of that process for so long.
And we don't have to get into it too much, but I'm just kind of curious your take on kind of, you were inside the machinations basically of the music industry. You know what I mean? You were like kind of in the heart of it, working mm-hmm. for the Academy. Do you just have any observations that you would share just about kind of the state of music right now, or, you know, what you kind of observed during your tenure there?
I mean, you know, they're celebrating 60 years this year. I started the 50th, which was a monumental year, and I always saw myself kind of ending the chapter and the bookend on the 60th, which somehow that manifested that way. Hmm. And they're going to work this year, which obviously I'm not a part of the process this year because I've moved on. But, you know, I just think, you know, the business itself has changed so much, obviously, because of the digital world. And, you know, music is definitely not the same from the time I started there, even the creative side of it. I mean, music blends so much together now. You know, R&B is pop and pop is country, and, you know, everything is blended now. I mean, that's the biggest I see with music. And the Grammys is about categories, you know, it's like about being able to separate what this is, you know, if it's jazz, if it's R&B, and I think it's just so much more infused now mm-hmm. that it's getting harder to separate them. And there was a big overhaul and restructure a couple years back for all the categories where we cut down, you know, from 120 to, you know, 90 categories, something roughly. But, you know, I think that's going to continue to happen because music is just not being created the same way anymore.
That's interesting. Well, that's a good segue to what you're working on now, Greenleaf. It's been fun watching it trend on Twitter, you know, like it's definitely blown up. And, you know, just from what I've read, I feel like you're definitely doing more of an innovative take with Greenleaf in terms of the music. But why don't you share with our listeners, you know, this current chapter that you're in and anything else you'd like to talk about?
Yep. So I left the Academy in June 2017 and started my company, Moon Baby Media, which is a full-time music supervisor, film, TV company, and content production. And my first client is Oprah Winfrey's Greenleaf Season 2 in Lionsgate TV. So I basically did the 16 episodes that are currently still on air now, a couple weeks remaining, and also produced the album soundtrack, which released September 8th. So make sure you guys check it out. Season 2, Greenleaf. And also did a playlist on Spotify, which you can check out all 16 episodes. My needle drops. So just look up Greenleaf Season 2. And I'm also creating B-sides of the stuff that didn't make the cut on Spotify. But, you know, definitely my approach with this was different than even, you know, Miss Winfrey, like, kind of envisioned for this season, because, you know, the show is set in today's time. You know, it's very much the now, and this is such a unique platform for gospel music and artists, and there's mm-hmm. nothing like it mainstream television. And over the last 10 years at the Grammys, you know, I really experienced, you know, a lot of, I guess, the gospel community's, you know, feelings of the lack of connection to mainstream platforms, whether it was the show, you know, the Grammys, and then not being represented necessarily on the show every year, to just in general feeling like they don't have a platform always for their music, you know. And gospel to me is a universal sound. Like, this isn't a regional thing, you know, like Native American or Hawaiian. Like, this is the universe, you know. Is it's a music that speaks to many languages across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
sometimes we be very isolated, like gospel music, and how they try to keep it almost, you know, siloed at some point, you know, where it doesn't get to the mainstream as much as it should. So for me, this show was that opportunity to engage those artists that I've worked with over the last decade in giving them some visibility for on-camera performances, you know, some of the rising stars of today in gospel, and then the ones that you already know and love.
Mm.
So, you know, there's two churches on the show, Triumph and Calvary. And Calvary is the traditional side, and then Triumph is the younger, modern gospel side.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to have fun and play with those two worlds and try to please, you know, Miss Winfrey, because she's really a traditional gospel fan. Like, she loves Mavis, she loves Shirley Caesar, you know. And
mm-hmm.
in the first season, you know, they used more of the traditional music. So I just saw this as a great opportunity, especially marketing-wise, for the show. Music is, like, essential at this point in television and film to basically engage audiences. Like, music is not being sold anymore. It's being streamed, and it's not even being downloaded, you know, but it's about connecting with the audience and allowing them to, you know, basically find a connection to the show and the music. So that was my biggest goal, was to put together a soundtrack that was more representative of today's world and gospel and the artists that you're hearing today, and also bring that to life on the show.
Right. And what I think is amazing too, though, is and very innovative, is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're taking, you know, basically live performances from the show and producing songs from that. Is that correct? And then releasing them.
Yeah, that was what we've done this season in particular. You know, there's Deborah Joy Winans, who's been the lead actress on the show, and you'll see her sing a lot of original music that our music producer, Matthew Head in Atlanta, has created, you know, originally for her. So I've taken even some of those songs and given them to, you know, Ja'Kalyn Carr and some of the artists that are on the soundtrack, so they can record it, you know, as today's gospel singers, so we can now have radio singles and things like that off the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. So it's amazing, because you're basically releasing music now through a TV show.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
is amazing. I think it's so innovative, and I'm trying to rack my brain for another, you know, show or something that's doing something like that.
Well, that was my model for this. You know, I felt like this was no different than a show like Star Empire, or even, you know, the Love and Hip Hop series, or any of that. Like, marketing and music, they go hand in hand on television now. So, mm-hmm. like I said, being such a unique opportunity for gospel artists, there's no reason we shouldn't follow that same model and use this as a place for discovery for these artists, and be able to break artists, or, you know, put a charting song on the radio. You know, Ja'Kalyn Carr was nominated for a Grammy last year for an R&B performance song called Bigger, and she's 19 years old, and so we found a way to write her into the script for a cameo, but she didn't perform on the show. Mm-hmm. So we took a song that, you know, Deborah Joy Winans sang throughout many of the episodes in bits and pieces, and I basically had her go and record that song as a full-fledged song to now release. And then, you know, another example is with Corinne Harthorn. She was season 8 finalist of The Voice. She's now signed to our label for the soundtrack, RCA Inspiration. You know, I A&R'd a record, Won't He Do It, on the soundtrack, which was our lead single, and had her record a duet on episode 13 with our actor Isaiah. And basically that song came to life, and this is the first single she's ever dropping as a major recording artist that is dropped on our platform and soundtrack. So it's much about integrating art and artists and gospel and television and infusing all those worlds together.
Mm-hmm. And giving these amazing opportunities too to these artists that are, you know, just coming out. So
it's exactly.
It's a win-win for everybody. And I think you're really being of service too, in such an amazing and innovative way. So yeah, kudos. It's really cool to hear about it. Do you, do you want to share anything? Do you get a break now that it's been out as of the 8th?
Yeah.
Do you get a little bit of a break, or what are you looking towards the future? What's going on?
Yeah, actually, I'm irons in the fire right now for my next. Obviously, season 3 is renewed, so that's great for Greenleaf. But that
news.
Will start the fall, and I'm represented by CAA. I have an agent there, so I'm doing a lot of handshaking and kissing babies, because after 10 years of being at the Grammys, you know, everyone knows me in that role. So it's just about getting out there now and letting people know this is what I'm doing full time. You know, this is not one foot in the door at the Grammys and, you know, overseeing what I did and then soundtrack for Greenleaf. Mm-hmm. I actually had to leave the Academy because it was a conflict of interest, and I'm in line for a nomination now for the soundtrack because it's entered in the exact category I used to oversee.
Oh my God, so, isn't that incredible? Congratulations.
Yeah,
wow.
Surreal.
That is so amazing. Oh, I'm going to be rooting for you big time.
Yeah, it's my first time out the gate, so I'm just happy to be in there and, you know that it was a blessing and it was all by design that I am where I am today, because last year I was sitting in my office basically looking at soundtracks and vetting who the soundtrack producers were, and now it's me. So it's just really surreal that that. But I also entered in the Emmys this year. It was the first year music supervisors were allowed and had a category to enter. So threw my hat in there as well, and I'm a member of the Emmys now as well too. So, you know, I'm just out here trying to make my stamp, and, you know, I think I'm going to do a great job at it. It's just about me kicking into full throttle, and, you know, it's going to all build a momentum, and, you know, you'll be hearing more about me soon. So
I don't doubt it for a second. And, you know, I'm really grateful that you took the time today to share your story, because I think it's going to be really inspiring for a lot of people. The fact that, you know, you walked us through your journey, because, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that, this is kind of why I created the podcast. I think there's a lot of people out there that just, you know, they're stuck in the, it's never going to happen. I got too many bills. I can't quit my day job, or I can't make that leap, or I can't do this. There's a lot of like the negatives, you know,
right.
And just seeing that you started out just like everybody else, and you made decisions and you took leaps and you took risks. But, you know, obviously, you know, God's a big part of your life, and God intended, and it sounds like God guided, but, you know, it's scary. It's really scary. And I think you just talking about it and the amazing successes that you had and that you'll continue to have is just inspiring. And I think it's going to be really empowering for people to hear about it.
Well, I'm excited for them to hear it. And thank you for listening to whoever listens to this. But, you know, the main thing is to stay focused on whatever it is in your heart, and know that whatever it is, you do have to work for it, you know, and it's definitely not going to come to you any other way. So that's my advice to anyone listening. You know, you have to take those steps, and whatever roadblocks come your way, you have to figure out how to get around them. That's just what life is about. So they're going to come, and that's just a part of the journey. But, you know, you can open up anything if you believe, because you have to believe first. You can't convince anyone else about anything that you have in your heart or you want to do if you don't believe it. And that's just what it is. So
yeah, that's great. Well, perfect spot to end. Thank you so much again, Angela, a.k.a. DJ Moon Baby of Moon Baby Media. And I will definitely give more.
At DJ Moon Baby. Make sure you follow me.
Yep, IG. And I will definitely, at the end, you know, give out more information about where to find the soundtrack and where to get updates and everything else. So thank you so much again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Here's your daily dose of inspiration from Angela Jolivet, a.k.a. DJ Moon Baby. It got a little muffled back there. I just wanted to repeat. It's at DJ Moon Baby on Instagram, Twitter. You can find her on Facebook, her website, Moon Baby Media. And again, check out the great soundtrack of Greenleaf Season 2 on Spotify. Don't miss it. So that's the end of Episode 3. You can go to our website, musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S, podcast.com, to stay tuned, subscribe, like, share, tell your friends. We're on all the social media platforms as well. We're on Twitter and iTunes. I already said iTunes, Instagram, and Facebook. So again, please like, subscribe, and share. I am your host, L. Ariel. You can find all my musical blatherings and what's going on in my neck of the woods at lariel music.com. That's lariel music.com. And I am also on all the social media platforms like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. Come on back and join us next week. We'll have another great guest who will give us more insight, advice, and a healthy dose of inspiration all about the music industry. So have a good week. And remember, keep on hustling, pursue that dream, don't give up.